Or Brad?
Brad is technical.
Ta-da!
There he is.
Brad is technical.
It is 5:46. We are here, a little theoretically done at 7:16.
Seven?
Six. 6:16. Oh, my God. We're going to be on here for 2 days.
I'm contagious.
5 days.
Let's see if we can make it till seven.
Yeah, all right.
5 seconds of silence. I guarantee we can't make it till seven. Zoom won't let us.
No, and you'll be asleep.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, I would just fade right away. You guys would be like, I can't hear him anymore. Can you? Oh, well, we'll just turn it off.
All right, we will get it right eventually. Welcome to take 117 of episode one. My name is Philip Barton.
My name's Brad Barton.
And acting as the rickety third leg of this stool of a podcast, we have Postmaster Patrick. Patrick. Can you hear
us? Thank you, gentlemen, for having me once again. I barely know what's going on, and I don't know what I'm doing, and I don't know how I got here, so this is right in my wheelhouse.
Okay.
Perfect. Today's attempt is brought to you by
Norzine.
That's at least a familiar feeling for me. So, you know, here I am.
Coors Light is on the sponsor list per usual, or the not sponsored list. But also we have How to Make the Best Impression by Eugene Life of the Party Smith, who reminds you that he didn't ask to be born and wonders how many other people sharing the road are curious if they could flip their car by hitting oncoming traffic. Eugene, Life of the Party, Smith. For other sponsors, we turn to my brother, sound engineer, editor, producer, and head twit, Brad.
We've got the noise-canceling loudspeaker, the light-absorbent headlights, and the third one.
I like the light absorbent headlights.
Solid gold swim flims, brought to you by Bloop.
Bloop.
And of course, brought to you by new improved Fleam dehydrated water. Just add water.
Good old Fleam. I'm a fan. I want to invest. Brad has another show, the Genesis OG, the original, and so on and so forth, which you can find by visiting thelabwithbrad.com. And this show that I keep forgetting about, you can find by visiting brothersbarton.net, because one podcast isn't enough. So, when are you starting your own podcast, Patrick?
Can I have you guys as guests?
Oh, heck yeah. We'll do like
nice.
I'm going to have to talk to my manager.
Do you have him? Wait.
We'll cut a deal.
If you're my editor, producer, who's the manager? Is it God? Is it
nobody can manage this.
Gentlemen, I want you to know it's National Pie Day, which is confusing to me.
Oh my God, it's Triss's birthday.
Wow. No, it's not. I didn't know. Triss's birthday is March 14th, which is National Pie Day, right?
Oh, okay. So the food.
The food today is National Pie Day. Yes.
Not
what's the other one? The calculation?
Yeah, the mathematical constant. He's going to keep going. Yeah, so I'm glad to know that. And in tribute to that, I think you guys should talk about what a great person I am.
All right. That conversation is already over. What?
I just wanted to say, have you guys tried peach pie yet?
No.
Since it's National Pie Day. We have devoted time to this. We need to move this down the road.
I haven't done the peach pie thing.
Fantastic.
I heard of it was a peach. No. And that was cobbler we were talking about.
Actually, calling cobbler back doesn't to count. A episode that actually exists.
Really?
Everything's better with pie. The film was beaten up by race car drivers, hung by the telephone pole, and they took his pie.
Which you can find by visiting the lab. Wait.
No. Brothersbarton.net. Yeah, this is one of our funnier ones. My favorite is when we came up with a new sport. Everybody gets in their car, has to drive 10 laps, and finish a pie.
Nice. I could do that event.
Well, call box are worth 10 points each to both of you. I've decided, by the way, since I can't do quizzes, I'll just assign points randomly.
Bully for you, sir. Bully for you.
It's right up there with Whose Line Is It Anyway?
15 points to Brad. You're wondering where I got this shtick.
Oh, can I start calling you Clive?
Clive, by all means. That's 10 points. Right? To, yes, you're just. Yeah.
They had so many good casts, too, but the one that I always remember is the Bad British Attitude. Cast.
The British was the best. I think that of The Office as well. Maybe it's the accent that gets me over the hump with The Office. It's they've got no laugh track.
And that show could kind of use one, actually.
Because there's so
dry. Isn't it funny how we're so conditioned to one that it, when it's not there, man,
I've seen comedies without a laugh track that I absolutely love. Just been rewatching God's Favorite Idiot.
Oh, me too.
One. There's no laugh track there, and it doesn't need one.
Which is on Netflix, by the way. Have you seen God's Favorite Idiot?
No, I got to check this out.
Highly recommended. You know, he's picked as the messenger. The actual people.
People.
I'm going to try
that. It's good.
You tell him about it, Brad. I'm going to try to IMDb this thing.
All right. Well, our hero, whose name I can't remember, is chosen by God to deliver God's message to the world.
Okay. Melissa McCarthy.
Yes.
Did you own that?
Oh, okay. I recognize the face, but I would never be able to guess his name. Ben Falcone.
Yes.
Falcone.
It's his baby, too.
Okay, that's cool. I know that
he stars, he wrote, he directed, you know.
I'll be a son of a buck. Did you IMDb in front of me? That's another 10 points.
Man, my IMDb food is strong.
No kidding.
He's strong with the source.
Mm-hmm. I am. That's one of my hobbies, as a matter of fact, is to, hey, what is this? What's it called? Oh, when was this made? When does this fall into the pantheon of things that I've seen, and then I recognize that guy from this or that guy from that, and I try and get them all. But Melissa McCarthy, by the way, is also in that, and I'm a big fan of hers because she's really a good writer. I really like her in everything I've seen her in.
She plays the love interest / sidekick.
Right. Oh, okay.
And it is in many ways God's chosen muscle.
Yeah, because she totally defends him, right?
Yeah.
She is the code to his dependent.
But anyway, it's a wonderful show. It's uplifting. It's funny. It's cute.
I'm gonna have to check it out.
The romance between the two main characters is just.
This series brought to you by Netflix streaming service, ladies and gentlemen.
Send us money. They send money to everybody else. Here, have a bag of money. Make some garbage.
They should produce our show.
I don't. They'll make it popular. This I don't want to stay out of it.
Kiss or death.
I want to consistently fail.
Very carefully planned out.
Look, we have 117 episodes. It's not episodes. It's takes of
takes.
The first episode.
Yes.
Then complete anonymity is very valuable at this point.
That's true. They
I
might.
Think there are 14 episodes or takes that have been published, but I'm not sure.
Wow.
You have a cat.
Kitty.
Yes. Can the cat hear us? He does not like the door being closed.
Oh. What's his name? Who are we listening to?
That one is named Hummy.
This is so adorable.
Hummy.
Yep.
As in Hummy?
Yep. Or Hummer. But I don't really like the name Hummer.
All right.
I know, right?
He sort of hums when he purrs. That's why.
There's a show called Wednesday that is also on Netflix, which I highly recommend.
I saw that too. I saw part of it anyway. My wife watched it.
Yeah. I really like that show. But the bee guy that she's friends with keeps saying Hummers stick together, and I can't get over the euphemism Hummer.
Oh yes,
yeah,
right.
I'm like, right. Do they know?
Or? Every time I hear, I don't know about that. Right? Yeah. Mm. And then the other part of that was there was a thing on the internet about the little dance that she did, and Lady Gaga copied the dance. The internet blew up for an afternoon.
Mm-hmm. Are you talking about when she was in the the ball or whatever. What do you call
yeah.
that? Prom. Yeah. Yeah. Her dance was insane, but it absolutely fit her character.
It really did, didn't it? She really did a good job at that. Louis Guzman, I absolutely love.
That would fit her character.
No, the first two moves she does is like her left arm straight up, right arm straight up, and then she kind of like leans left and right. Like she looks absolutely batshit insane.
Well, okay, that does fit her character.
I was thinking about it in the context of the music they used, so I went back and I watched it, and I actually have, in my opinion, a very strong contender to replace the song that's in that. It's called Spooky Like Me, I think is what it's called. Maybe it's called Nervous Like Me, but it would fit that really well, as a matter of fact. It would be perfect for that little spot, because she's weird and nervous and spooky. So
you want to go back to Netflix and be like,
I will write a very strongly worded letter, okay?
Oh, Nervous Fits Wednesday.
Wednesday,
right? Dear sirs,
he was born without that passion. Particular emotion.
Mm-hmm.
The chick who plays Wednesday, I'd seen her in a couple of other things. But, really? If someone hadn't brought up who it was and I looked it up, the reason I looked it up is because they were saying, hey, she's about 20. Right?
Yeah, she doesn't look 20.
And she doesn't look 20. I thought she was maybe 13, you know?
Yeah, it's a little creepy that way, too.
I was convinced it was going to be a, if I haven't said this before, growing up with the, what is that show, Brad? I said this before.
I don't know. Stranger Things?
No. the
Harry
Wizards
Potter.
And the Harry Potter. Yes. Where you grow up with the actors and, you know, I thought it was going to be like that.
Yeah. But the thing is, I didn't recognize her from the other role I'd seen her in. She played a 15-year-old girl, and she seemed exactly like a 15-year-old girl. Which, yeah. Weirdly, she's playing, I think, like a freshman in high school.
In this case?
Yeah. Seems younger in the Addams Family for some reason.
I think they do it on purpose. I don't know. I mean,
yeah, they definitely made her up to look. Dollish. Jenna Ortega is her name.
That's
right. Yes. Okay. And she really
I'm
nails
impressed
it.
By her range.
Am too. It's hard to play as deadpan as she plays it, but still be interesting. Mm-hmm. So,
and
yeah,
she also plays her ancestor or whatever. I'm not convinced that that's actually her voice because she's got a bit of a different accent going on there, but. If it is her voice, then
maybe she just can't do accent.
Did you ever see You?
Wait, the Netflix show?
Netflix show. It's called You. You're basically walking around with a stalker and serial killer.
Oh, right. Yeah. I at least saw a couple episodes.
Second season.
I bailed out.
She is a 15-year-old younger sister of one of his neighbors who's, you know, a bit too big for her britches.
Uh-huh. No, I don't understand. What are you?
I'm trying not to use the word precocious, but
precocious. Isn't that spelled precious? Huh. Isn't precocious?
No.
Precocious.
And they don't mean the same thing either. We've had this exact conference.
Well, you know,
we have tread this ground before, sir.
And welcome to take 118 of this. But we don't recycle the same crap over and over again.
Now, someone was talking. Who was that? Oh, okay. So it was wanting to cast the perfect person to play Gomez Adams, which was the dude that played the that was in Star Wars. His name just escaped me here. Let me go find it.
Oh, Worf?
The Asian dude?
The other guy. He also plays Ghost Knight, or isn't that the way? No, Moon Knight.
Moon Knight.
Right. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that reference up. I totally understand now.
Right. Cool.
Sorry. His name is Oscar Isaac, and he's been around for quite a while. He was in a movie called Sucker Punch with a small little. He was in Ex Machina as the programmer, Nathan. He was in the new Star Wars movies as the hotshot pilot guy, Poe Dameron. He's the new, he's Moon Knight.
I think I'm
Disney
behind on my flipping Star Trek. And I find
Star Wars. Sorry. All right, did I say Star Trek? Okay.
I know for certain I'm behind on my Star Wars.
And he's in the new Dune as well.
Not really caring.
So I'm going to go ahead and
I'm with you.
Track the Star Wars points to me and Brad for not supporting Patrick.
Okay, well, I really like Louis Guzman, though, too.
Mongooses, that's a good team name. The Fighting Mongooses.
Oh, yeah.
The Fighting Mongooses.
There's no crying in baseball.
I think we just lost Patrick. That's weird.
What are we going to do? What are we going to do?
Have a little cry.
There we go. Was it the cat?
We're back. Sorry. I lost
Sorry
you
about that. I hit the warp engines by accident.
Give it her all she's got, Captain.
This is interesting. I hope you're still recording or being recorded.
I bet you money.
It said recording in progress.
Other subjects that won't work. You brought up as a subject like the dream car, right? We can all talk about our dream cars. Yes.
My dream car. You ever seen Knight Rider?
Kit?
Good old 85 Pontiac Firebird.
No, it's not the make or model. I just want one intelligent enough to go to Jack in the Box for me.
You'd be arguing with the car all day long. Go get Jack in the Box. I don't want to. You're the car. I tell you what to do.
The best self-driving programs in the world still can't find a fucking parking place to
right. And they definitely can't work the drive-through. I mean,
yeah. Yeah.
No cheese. No cheese.
But the car could do it. Good old Kit.
Kit can do it.
I'm an incredibly complex and very expensive crime-fighting piece of equipment. Mm. Yeah, well, I want a Baconator, so.
That's right. Just put the bag in the car.
There was a point made that Knight Rider is called Knight Rider, but nobody rode the Knight.
At night?
Michael Knight.
You've been watching Rick and Morty, huh?
Yes, I have.
Well, someone's cute. Giving this some
right,
thought.
But the one who was the writer was Knight. So, Knight Rider.
Oh, okay. I get it. It all makes sense.
This is exactly the argument I had with that cartoon.
You
and
were
I
yelling
won.
At your computer screen, weren't you?
Well, no. I was in the bathroom having a cigarette, so I just yelled at the toilet.
Okay. Rick and Morty, we highly suggest also.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Which includes such lines as, put the green wire on my right temple and the red wire on the why does nobody love me?
You son of a bitch, I'm in. I love that line.
Oh, man. That got me. That killed me. That's one of my favorite episodes where Rick.
Which Tiny
one?
Rick.
Which one? Tiny Rick. Okay.
Big Trouble in Little Sanchez was the name of the episode.
Okay. Yes. They're very hit and miss, Rick and Morty is.
Yeah, but as a matter of fact, if you skip the show episodes you know you hate, it's a fantastic show. I do the same goddamn thing with Doctor Who, I got to tell you. And Rick and Morty basically is an amoral Doctor Who.
So how many shows
that
can
is
we...
a really good point.
I mean, seriously, his battery is bigger on the inside.
How many shows can I convince you to watch if I actually watch Tombstone?
We lose Patrick?
I don't think so. Hello? Patrick?
Oh!
Now what?
I didn't even notice when he vanished. Wait!
Wait.
Hey, I'm back.
Hey, what the hell happened?
I do not know. I just dropped off the face of the earth there for a second, floating around in space. Well, that was weird.
We have another 9 minutes.
That's very uncomfortable, and that's very Tron-like of you. Did you get sucked into the computer?
Yeah, that was the weirdest thing. Everything just dropped there for a minute.
What I was saying, I don't know if you heard it or not. My dad used to watch a lot of Westerns, and I just remember not being very interested in them, and that might have just poisoned me. Because yeah, I haven't watched that many except for Blazing Saddles, but that doesn't count.
Well, yeah, it's funny that way, isn't it? Because I never really got into the serial westerns like Gunsmoke or
Banana. Are you the singing bush?
The Three Amigos. Yes. I guess I saw that.
I just killed Patrick.
I'm having a hard time tonight. Technical difficulties.
That's all right. We'll cut this down to 5 minutes.
We will we?
We'll edit that out in post. But no, I love Western. I like a lot of Western movies, especially a movie called Unforgiven with Clint Eastwood. That is really definitely a good Western. The old movie, Shane, or what was the other one? There was another real famous one. Yeah, it was a good good movie and a good book.
There's a book? Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know if that makes it better or worse.
But I never really liked the serialized television Westerns. I definitely never love John Wayne Westerns, for example. Although
have
I like
caught the outlaw Josie Wales.
Of course I have. Clint Eastwood's one of my big-time favorites. I've seen all of his movies several times. And the Outlaw Josie Wales was so good.
They had this guy. He ran the ferry. He'd take people across the river, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, most of these cowboy movies are set in a period just after the American Civil War.
Okay.
Yeah.
A bunch of former Southern Army folk were just sort of at loose ends running around being trouble.
They were being raiders at that point, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
So this guy, you know, he's taking them across the river, and he's convinced they're Confederate swords. So he's going, oh, way down south in the land of Dixie, oh, gets them across, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes back, and he gets a load of Northerners, and my eyes have seen the glory.
They did the same sort of thing in The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Yeah.
Where the guy was the Confederate soldiers were moving out and he was ready to welcome those Northern folks. Mm-hmm. And he said, they pay gold, not these worthless Confederate dollars. But you need to see Tombstone. Tombstone has a couple of epic performances. A really good performance brought home by Val Kilmer. He was so good as Doc Holliday. Yes.
I begged him
as Doc Holliday. He has some great lines. You guys need to check that out. And then basically the whole story of that movie was Kurt Russell really wanted it to be his opus. And he got into an argument with the director or whatever, and the director was gone. So he basically hired a guy, and he did the grunt work, and then and Kurt Russell did all the important decisions, and took less screen time, expanded Doc Holliday's role, and made a really good movie out of it. Got really good performances by the bad guys in the film. Let me check the name.
Val Kilmer. I know this guy.
I think he played one of the Batman.
He did. That's right. Really bad Batman movie.
In the worst Batman movie ever. Val Kilmer.
Oh no. Clooney gets that distinction for sure. He's the man who broke Batman for a while.
Broke Batman.
Along with, what's his name that played Robin? Chris, what's his name?
Oh, yeah. I know the one you're talking about now.
Yes. Really good in a movie called Scent of a Woman.
You know, nobody agrees really with bad me, but I actually prefer Jack Nicholson's Joker to Keith Fletcher's.
Agree.
I really didn't. I have something that I don't care for Jack Nicholson. I don't like him. And I think that's why he works for a lot of people. People don't like the guy.
I like
that. That's sort of how he works.
Yeah.
But in that movie, you have to agree, he stole that movie. He was I guess that's
as far as that
that's
movie
always been
goes,
Batman anyway. It's always more about the bad
the villain,
guys.
Right? Because Batman's not interesting. Yeah. They tried to.
Oh, no, you saw your parents die.
I thought way stronger performance. I think Jack mailed it in. This town needs an enema. All he was doing was a bad Richard Nixon impression. So, yeah, no, I beg to differ on that one. Well, I really love Jack Nicholson in The Shining, and I really liked him in there was something else I saw. Oh, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Oh, yeah. Well,
really
yeah.
fantastic movie that was his, that.
That was his breakout role, that, wasn't it?
Yeah. That, I, think, I don't know if that was.
Nurse no, Ratched. Chinatown was his breakout role, and it was See, his I first haven't even major seen movie. That one. And that won an Academy Award for something, I'm sure.
For Extreme Clarks.
Because it was a big deal.
Yeah. We've got about 2 minutes left, gentlemen.
Oh, just looking at the clock.
I'm just going to hold on here. Just real quick, tally up the points I've been giving you over time. And
the imaginary point tally is going on.
Patrick wins. I got negative 100 at some point.
Well, actually, with a total of
I win with absolute value.
Well, I didn't say them all out loud. I will. I mean, there's been some secret points. And, with
oh,
a total,
there were secret points awarded. Like
total of 1,118 points. Hummy wins the prize.
Get out!
Hummy could just come to the microphone and
give us a little acceptance speech.
Yeah.
Hey, come over here, meow. You do it, meow.
Next time on episode two.
Hummy gives a monologue. Yeah.
He is talkative. He loves coming up and down the hall and meowing. We think that he likes to hear himself up and down the hall.
I love when other people have talkative cats. You know what I mean? Nice.
Yeah.
We had a...
Yeah, you wonder if Schrodinger could have done that thing with the cat if it was a Siamese.
No.
Yeah, that yowl is really something. Oh, my gosh.
Right?
Is it's... a cat that cannot be observed in any way. And we have no way of telling if
we
it's
get another cat
for
the thought experiment, please?
I swear that was a good ending. Can we go now?
Ha ha ha!